Father, we come to you knowing that you are everywhere, and yet you tell us to draw near. Yet you're already there. Sometimes we're not with you. So we do come this morning to draw near. We come to know you, to seek you, to find you, to be taught by you today what does it mean to really draw near. So I'm just asking, as we open your word, that you would speak. Father, that you would teach. This is something that we do each Sunday, and yet, Lord, this is this divine encounter that we want to have with you, where you come by your Spirit and manifest truth, reveal truth, illumine truth to our hearts, and bring life change into us. So thank you for this word today. Teach through me as I present your truth. We're trusting you and you alone, for you alone are trustworthy. Amen. God's provision came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. The great I Am, the long prophesied Messiah, on a baby donkey, as a matter of fact. He was and is God's Son, the Savior of the world. But to many of those who were looking on, and even to some today, he didn't look like God's provision. He didn't have the pomp and the circumstance. He didn't have that kingly air that is common to our culture. And yet he was and is God's provision. And it's interesting, when we look through the stories of the Bible, we frequently find that God's provision doesn't look like what we think it might look like or should look like. A baby born to a 90-year-old lady named Sarah was God's provision for a whole nation. An 80-year-old man recruited from the backside of the desert to come be the conquering commander of an army and conquer the known power of the world and walk out through the desert, a man named Moses. Or you think about the nation that was falling apart with its core values starting to deteriorate, people praying for God to send them a prophet. And so he gave him a 3-year-old child just weaned from the womb who learned to say, "Here am I, speak." God gave him Samuel. And even Samuel, down the road, when the plan of God was displayed to him, went through not one missed choice, not two missed choices, 8 opportunities before he got to God's young teenager named David. God's provision doesn't always look like what you think it will. And because of that, oftentimes we're not happy about that. We're not always welcoming to that. We don't even believe that. But God has made provision. And his provision came to us in Jesus Christ. He is the expression of God as man. And when he came as man to earth, he revealed God's plan. We talked about that some last week. He revealed God's provision. And so he is the provision of God. And yet, I don't know if this ever boggles your mind. Here we have God the Son here, and yet what did he do? As he ministered time and again, it says, I was just reading in Luke 5 in a spot where it says, he was speaking to large crowds of people, and many pressed in for healing, but he would often escape early to pray. And they were looking for him, and they found him praying. That was his pattern. When he got ready to pick his disciples, the omniscient God of the universe, dwelling in humanity, spent all night in prayer. All night. If he was God, why did he have to pray? Have you ever wondered about that? I want to answer some questions from the Word today that you may have about prayer. When Jesus Christ came into that temple after the triumphal entry, do you remember what the little encounter he had with people that day? You know, they had a good business going on, and Jesus kind of disrupted business rather severely. You know, when you drive out the cattle and the sheep, when you turn over people's cashier tables, you know, I just can't imagine that making anybody happy at any time in any culture, but certainly not that one. And what did he say? My house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a robber's den. Interesting. When I came into this house 25 years ago, the very first word the Lord gave me here was, this shall be a place of prayer. And when I look over the years and I wrestle with some of the issues, some of the biggest, boldest prayers I have prayed, I have not yet seen come to fruition. And in the process, I've become a man of prayer. I want you to think about God's provision, perhaps in a little bit different light today. So turn with me to a passage about God's provision, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. One of the reasons I think we have such difficulty with prayer, and maybe you don't, but I find a lot of people do, and even occasionally myself, is that his provision comes by dependence. And dependence isn't something that we like. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And he who knocks, it shall be opened to him. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Your Father in heaven is interested in giving what is good to those who ask. And I think frequently we wrestle with the fact that we just want what we ask, not necessarily what is good. You ever been there? I hope you've lived long enough and prayed enough to be thankful for some of the prayers that you didn't get answered. I've been there, okay? Things that you thought this would have been the greatest, and you're so glad when you look down and you go, that would have been a horrible disaster. And so when we hear him say throughout this book, I want you talking to me, I want you praying without ceasing, are you hearing in there a description of how to get what you want? Are you hearing in there an encouragement to build a relationship of dependence upon him? See, I think as Americans, we're pretty well tuned to the idea of, I want, I pursue, I get. That's what it's about. So I honestly, as I studied this and knew I was going to speak on this for a couple of weeks back, I did not like coming back to this passage because it's so provision oriented. It's so ask and you receive. I thought, oh, that is so American. That's just what we want. I asked, I get it. I asked, I get it. And we see God as some celestial slot machine. You know, and all you have to do is put in the right prayer and ka-ching, I get what I want. I'm so glad he hasn't done that for me. Now, I'm not easy to, not on, if I'll be honest with you, I'm not always glad he hasn't done that for me. See, there's times when I have had, and I have tried to talk God into things. Yeah, I know you've never done that. But he says what? He says, ask. Listen, prayer is a conversation of dependence upon our Father. And that means we come to one who has told us to come. Not all of you were raised with a father who encouraged you to come. Not all of you had that intimate connection where you felt like, you know, I could always come and I knew I would always be welcome and my requests would always be respectfully considered. Some of you didn't get that at all. But there is a Father in heaven who is good. And he says, come. And he says, ask. That's quite a thought, isn't it? That the God of the universe would say, why don't you give me a call today? Why don't you talk to me? I don't know about you, but there's times when you know socially you're supposed to say, hey, you should give me a call. And you didn't even want to say it. You know what I'm talking about? And there's times you're like, you know, I am busy enough. I don't really want to invite one more phone call into my life. God of the universe says, I want you to call. And so the Father invites us into this conversation of dependence that we might experience his provision. He says, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be open. There is an experience God wants you to have of personally encountering him and his provision. You see, prayer is not begging God for a favor. It's trusting God to be God in your life. I've done my share of begging. And I recognize myself in one sense as a beggar. One who has no basis of my own on which to approach a heavenly Father. But yet, one who because of adoption, one who because of his gift of salvation, I come as a son. I have a basis to come. And so he tells me, ask. And so he invites us into this place. But listen, how are you doing with that? Are you a person who is asking? Because really, when it says ask here, it's in the imperative stating the idea is keep on asking. Don't stop asking. Now, having spent a little time with the grandchildren this week, it is amazing how fast a six-year-old's mouth can move. You know? And how many things, let's do this. And little girls, I didn't have girls. All I had was boys. Hallelujah. God must have known I wasn't ready for this. But to see the elaborateness of her mind, I mean, she does not just imagine things. She imagines things in 3D, full color, and then inserts you into her little world. Hey, Papa, come over here, and then we're going to do this, and this is where we're going. And she's got this whole little imagination world worked out in front of her. But when they ask, what's your response, parent? What's your response, grandparent? See, when they ask, there is a relational response. It's something that you want to respond. And so It's something here when he says, ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. All right? So, you know me. I look at these things and sometimes it's just like, okay, this is so obvious. Anybody can look at this. This is all obvious. God, what in the world am I supposed to say about this? So I'm just going to state the obvious today. Because sometimes we miss the obvious because we overlook the obvious. You know, kind of like overlooking the forest for the trees. So here's my obvious statement. God only promises provision to those who make requests. There is no promise that God will move in your life apart from you asking God to move. Oh, God sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God bestows great blessing on life apart from request. But the promise of moving in your life comes to those who ask Him. He says, ask, and it will be given. Request, receive responses. Interactions develop what? They develop relationship. Why do my wife and I drive 5 hours up into the mountains north of Portland? Because we want to build relationship. And meeting a few requests is just part of what? It's part of building relationship. That's why parents, grandparents love to do that stuff. You come with gifts and presents. You do things you didn't do for your own kids. Sorry, kids. But sometimes I think we wrestle with this because prayer is this conversation with God. It is this expression of relationship, but we approach it as a means of procuring an end. It's the divine Amazon. Hey, God, could you please get this down here for me? Listen, and I think it's hard because if you read your Bible, you know, it says, He knows what we need, when? Before you ask. Now, if that doesn't explain to you this is not about a procurement thing, you miss this. And I think so often people read that and they go, then James, why are we supposed to pray? Because Dad likes to receive calls from his kids. That's what it's about. He says, I want you to make the call. And he says, I would like you to be calling me all the time. I would like you to be talking to me because what? So I can have a relationship with you. So we can enter into this. And it's a response that comes when he hears. See, he's already there, but the closeness that you're going to experience comes when you call. Are you with me on that? That there's something there? I had this happen again. I know I'm just telling grandparents stories. I guess that's what happens. You get this old. But so I got up early. I guess that was Monday morning. Got up early Monday morning, and house was still dark and fairly quiet. And then I heard this little, ah, ah. I went, oh, okay. Well, he's in the parents' room, you know. So you're like, okay, I don't want to really invade that space. And there's this little, ah. Ah, and there's a pretty soon. I just want to open a little door and peek. Say, hey, maybe the parents are taking care of him. He's just talking to them, but they weren't. So here was the smiley little face that met me inside of there. So he's 4 months old, and he's talking. All right. So what? Papa wants to respond to that. And Papa picks him up, and he's soggy, you know? And so there's a whole set of needs this little guy's got. But I want you to think about this. What I did is I didn't address those right then. Being a wise man, I just waited. But the interesting thing was, as I knew to actually address those needs, you know what? It was going to bother him. And sometimes even as Papa wants to bring us close to him and he says, I want to have this relationship with you. He's going to love on you, but you know what? If you get close, he's going to realize you need to have something done. And sometimes that's why we choose not to get close. I actually chose not to change him because I knew I was going to wake up his parents. Because I knew he was going to yell if we did that. But there's a thought. Do you realize that God knows what you need? He's reaching out relationally to you, and yet as he begins to deal with what you need to have dealt with, it may be inconvenient and uncomfortable to you. Are you still willing to ask? See, you're still willing to draw near to the God that will draw near to you. But as he draws near to you, he will deal with those things you need to have dealt with. See, and I think I'm just coming to ask for this. And what I find is then Father wants to talk about this. Didn't you parents do that when your kids came? They're coming asking, saying, hey, can I have the car keys? And what'd you do? You started into a discussion about responsibility, didn't you? You started into this additional, did you take care of the things that were going on in your house? When they come to you with a request, you take that opportunity to invite them into relationship of what? Of maturity. That's always the goal of a parent. You want your children to mature. And so when we come to Father, I want you to understand, as we're asking things of Father, he is relating back to you in a way to give you what you need so that you will become mature. Not just so you'll get what you want. Because there's not a parent in here that has given every child every last glass of water they asked for at night. There's not a parent in here that gave their child every request for dessert that they asked for. That let them play a little bit longer every single time. No, we interrupted their lives with the intention that they would mature. And so God oftentimes doesn't give us exactly what we ask. Because it's not exactly what we need. But he always, always get it. You ask, it will be given to you. I think in our mindset, and I may have to have a scholar correct me on this. I think in our mindset, we hear it will be given to you, meaning whatever you ask will be given. And that goes back to that I got a celestial slot machine. I can ask God for anything and I will get that. You know, I'm not driving a Porsche Boxer. Never asked. Maybe that's why. You know, there's ministries that's what they would tell you. You don't have that because you didn't ask for that. But friends, there are things that you don't receive because you don't ask. But are you willing to let the God who is there direct your will? Because in James chapter 4, he talked about this not asking thing. And this is amazing. Why don't you turn with me over there? It is good for you to blow the dust off of your Bible back there. Some of you guys ain't been back here a while. James chapter 4, where he points this thing out, and I know this doesn't relate to you at all, but there's people you know this relates to, right? Okay, so he says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Well, we don't have any of those, so. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You got a desire, you got a hunger. He says, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Friends, if that does not sober you about your life, it should. There are things that God wants to do with you and in you and through you that will never happen if you never ask. I don't know about you, but the idea of getting to heaven and finding there's a box full of stuff that God wanted to send, but I never said send it, be pretty disappointing. And so I am in this conversation with Father about what he wants to send. And there's times I've grown up over the few years here that you go, okay, that probably wasn't the most mature thing to ask at that point in time. But other things that he has graciously granted me, I look back and go, that's just amazing. That's just marvelous. That's just crazy. Are you asking? See, prayer is not a formula. It's a conversation with your Father. So why do we not receive from God? I'm going to tell you this. One of the biggest reasons why you don't receive is you don't ask. In fact, if you received everything this last week that you've asked for, would you recognize it? What do I mean? Is, are you praying specifically enough to even know that the box that's sent is your box? Are you asking God with enough detail about the things you want to see happening in your life that he, oh, that was God. I saw him intervene. So think about this. The Father responds to you in a way that wants to grow you, but he will respond to you every time you ask. That's his promise. I will respond. I will respond. So I want you to think about it. In your God time, I want this to be very practical today. In your God time, do you have something particular that you're saying, God, I want to see this happen? I want to see this occur in my heart, in my mind. I want to see this occur in my family. I want to see this occur in my business. I want to see this occur in my neighborhood. What are the things you're praying for this nation? That could keep you busy. You better be praying. I'm not even going to start that sermon. So, the question is, when are you asking? If you don't have specific times, oftentimes you won't take specific time. And so I want you to think about, do you have an appointment time with God? Many of you are appointment scheduled people. If you don't have a God time, you won't have a developed God relationship. And you can set that apart. It can be your pickup truck. It can be a closet in your house. All right, it can be just a certain spot in your bedroom that you regularly meet with God. It could be a place in your business. You say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with God every time I walk in here. I don't know what happened with me, but several years back, I realized I could walk into the office, the pastor's office, you know, the upper room. You guys know where my office is, you know, I mean, the upper room. You are close to God right there, right? You know. I know a bunch of you think it's the principal's office, but that's a whole different story. And I can step right into work without ever asking God for anything. So one of the things that I do, just to push myself to the place I need to be, is before I sit in my chair, I kneel on my floor. And I just want to encourage you, I share this not so, oh, I'll do that, but so that you'll say, what do you need to do that'll make you a praying person? That'll make you not assume things of God, but step into things with God. So be a prayer. Think about what you're praying for. I use a journal. I write a lot of things down. I believe it's just a way of articulating myself to God. So he says, ask. And then he says something else. He says, seek. Now, seek and ask are not the same. Otherwise, we'd say, ask, ask. Right? I told you I was going to be profound today. So he says, seek. All right? Seeking is this idea of a pursuit. It's the idea of, some of you will really relate to this, hunting. Say, searching. See, receiving Father's provision requires what? It requires your active participation. And I think many times in Christianity, our perception of prayer is this. I sit and I pray and I'm all done. But that's not the way the book's written. He says, you seek this. You know, now asking, I can sit and ask. But seeking involves participation. It involves that I will move forward in the areas that I am interested in, that I have a desire to see something happen in. Because I've found many parents who will pray, God, give me godly kids. And won't spend time with God's word with their kids. Now, I believe God can answer that prayer, but he answers it as you seek him, obeying him in the prayer. Okay? And so, you know, you can pray, God, bless my business. I don't have to talk to too many of you business women or business men here to say, you still got to show up. You can't just ask God to take care of it all. That would be sweet. You could go out and fish. I prayed for my business. Now I'm going to have some fun. But we don't think of that when it comes to business. Why are we thinking about that when it comes to prayer? That you don't think that there's to be a participation in the process where there's something of a response to the God and to what he's asking of me. Seek me is really what he's saying. Pursue me. Respond to how I'm directing you. God's longing for a response from us more than we're longing for a response from him. And some of you understand this because you've got an empty nest. Your kids have moved out. You said hallelujah that day. And then after that, it got quiet. And you now wish for what? More calls. More communication. You want them to seek you. You don't want that call always coming from you. That feels a little awkward. But he wants us to seek him. God is developing my character, not just granting my wishes. And I have found for the developing of my character, if I got everything I asked for the moment I asked, I think I'd be a very immature person. There's something developed in us as we carry weight. Isn't that what you do with weights? You put a little tension on the muscles, so there's a development process going on within the body. Okay? And so will you pursue him? Will you do something that will help strengthen you, that'll strengthen your marriage? You say, God, I pray with my wife daily about our marriage because I know her husband. I do. I know her husband, and he needs prayer. So I pray for our marriage. In fact, when we pray together, you can ask her. I am frequently praying about me. I am not praying on her. I will pray for her. You know what I'm talking about being prayed on? Did you ever have a mama do that for you? Father, do you give my son a better attitude? I call that praying on. You know, I mean, don't pray on to people. Pray your own stuff. Do your own confession. Do your own seeking. But there is something that happens that if I will step up and do things that God's calling me to do, but I can pray in the morning for a better marriage. But if I'm going to seek him, what's that going to take? Now, I'm going to have some conversations with that woman. I don't know why it seems to take that, but it seems to take conversations, build a relationship. Isn't that right? So I can pray that, but I got to walk that out. I have to seek Father in my steps that I walk out the very prayers that I'm praying, friends. It's not just this magic thing. You say this and it happens. You walk it out. It's part of the reality of your experience with your children, with your business. And the delays are part of God's design. Because it makes you seek him more if you really want it. If you really want him, it'll make you seek him more. As I said before, many of the boldest things that I have prayed for, I have not yet received. Not yet. But I believe I am becoming who he's calling me to be by doing what he's calling me to do. And whether I see what I desire to see is not the issue. The issue is, will I seek him the way he told me to? Because honestly, friends, when I think about the issue, I get discouraged. I'll be straight with you guys. I really hope you see I am. I get discouraged about not seeing some of the things I really want to see answered. And stuff that I have prayed for that did not happen. And disasters that were not averted. And all of this stuff. But before you start to find fault with the creator and sustainer of the universe, you might just check and see how well you're doing your own part. You know, because I have no basis of complaint with the Father based on my performance. And I'm so thankful it's not based on my performance. But before I start finding fault with his performance, the perfect one, I have to submit myself and say, no. He is a good Father. And he says, if you seek, you will find. There is something that God is willing to open up to you. There is an understanding that God is willing to give you if you will pursue it. He says, if you ask for wisdom, he will give it to you if you believe him for that. So are you moving in response to your request? I pray for more souls to be saved. But if I don't share with more people, what is that? I mean, years ago, you guys have heard that story again and again. When I'm here praying, God, I want to see souls. And he says, why don't you go talk to some? And I'm like, well, which ones? Well, the ones you already know. Sheesh, that's like kind of clear, isn't it? Have you spent enough time with the tensions of the issues that you're praying for where you can hear back from God and say, okay, there's something he wants me to do in response to this. That's what I'm saying with seeking. You see, I don't earn my answers by my actions. But my actions can align me with the answers he wants to give. It's like you've heard me say again and again, you know, the idea of having a full glass of water. You don't earn a glass of water by going to the tap and putting it under the faucet. It's just that's where the blessings flow. And so when I align myself with the will of God, he can fill my life. And so my alignment doesn't earn the blessing. It just gets me to the place where the blessing's flowing. Power flows through his presence, friends. Does that make sense? A gardener knows you can pray for a bumper crop, but you ain't going to have one if you don't cultivate the ground, if you don't plant the seed, if you don't weed, if you don't water. And then you are dependent upon the grace of God. But if you don't do what the grace of God has already taught you to do, don't expect the blessing of God in your life. You have to seek it. So I pursue God's plans for you. That's how you experience it, through participation. Lastly, he says what? He says knock. To rap with the knuckles. Simple thought. What does that mean? Asking, articulate what you want. Seek, move towards what you're interested or hungry, desiring of. But knock. You knock at a place where there is no access yet granted. You with me? There is something closed to you. There is a restraint in your life. There's something that needs to happen that you can't get through unless something is opened to you. All right? And so Father opens closed doors to those who persistently pursue his provision. See, many people live in the rooms of their house because they've never figured out how to unlock the other rooms that God has for you. Friends, I believe God has greater blessing for you, greater spiritual endeavors for you, greater spiritual ministry for you, if you will be willing. Say, God, I don't want to stay in this house, in this room anymore. I want to move out. I want to take more territory for you. I'm not going to just sit here and hold the fort till the king comes. I want to take territory for the king because he is coming. True? What are you knocking for? What's been closed to you? There are relationship situations I've been knocking for decades. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen changes in some of those. I know who can open any door. It says, he who knocks, it will be open. So I knock. Some of the situations, I'm going to see if this will make sense to you. Some of the situations I have prayed for that haven't happened in my life, I've been able to help happen in somebody else's life. Is that weird? But I'm knocking on a door that I'm saying, God, I want you to open this door. And God hasn't opened the door. And yet I can encourage somebody else to knock on the door and see them walk through the door. I still get excited about that. Are you willing to be a person who's encouraging others to knock? The idea that we persist. Friends, you and I are what? We're in a battle. Is that true? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. If it was just flesh and blood wrestling, I'm all for that, man. I can do that. We can't make it happen by our own power. So you knock
for that child. You knock for that friend. You knock for that circumstance, that situation. You knock for that habit that hasn't been dealt with in your life. You say, God, this door has to be open. I am not going to live my whole life like this. And when you get serious with God and He realizes you're not turning away, He won't turn away. Have you ever come to the door, somebody knocked, and they weren't there when you got there? It's happened, hasn't it? Question. How many times does that happen with God? You knocked once. You knocked once. You walked away. God came to the door. You were no longer listening, no longer looking, no longer believing. Listen, access is obtained by a faith that continues knocking. That's the imperative. Keep on knocking. I'm here to tell you, if God's put the desire in your heart to pray, don't stop praying till God tells you to. It's not because I don't see a result. Does the desire still need to come about? Is His will not yet fulfilled? I pray through. I pray to. Again, I haven't got this all figured out. I'm living in attention. I'm just sharing this with you, my brothers and sisters. Luke 18:1 explains this just a little bit. I'm not going to do the whole story. That's your extra reading. You know, we got that in your bulletin notes. But read this with me. Now He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Hello? Why would He tell them a parable like that? If you ask, you receive. Now, I'm going to tell you a parable so you won't give up. And what's the parable? Are you guys familiar with that story? It's the one of the gal coming to the unrighteous judge and saying, hey, give me justice, give me justice. It is one of the strangest stories in the Bible. And you look at that and go, why would God? Go ahead, study it out on your own. But He told them the parable so they wouldn't lose heart, implying what? Losing heart is a serious issue for the saint. That's what we wrestle with as we give up on situations. Friends, there's characteristics that I have prayed for in my children that I'm still praying for. And the cool thing is, I've seen some of it come about. You know, I was here praying with one of our elders one time, and I was busted up about one of my sons. And the brother says, hey, we've prayed. You've sowed. The seed is in the ground. You're just going to have to wait. Man, that was a good word for me. Have you put the seed in the ground? See, have you softened the ground? Are you watering that? Friends, some of the stuff you have to wait for. Boy, you've got a four-year-old child at home. There's maturity you're praying for. It's coming, friends, but it's coming a while from now. Isn't that right? So don't think God hasn't answered your prayers. You just be obedient. You're seeking Him. You're asking. And you keep knocking for those things to come about. Push. Sometimes I'm afraid we just got this attitude that says, God's going to do what God's going to do. You know what I'm talking about? I accept the sovereignty of God. But the sovereign God said you're supposed to ask. The sovereign God said you're supposed to seek. The sovereign God said you're supposed to knock. So we want to push. What does it mean to push? Pray. Until something happens. The story was told of a man who was assigned to push on this rock by God. He began pushing on this rock and pushing on this rock. He says, you push on this rock anyway, every way, do everything you can. And this guy tried pushing backwards. He tried pushing forwards. He put himself, he'd been pushing for months. And he had this conversation with God. He's like, God, I've been pushing. What's the deal? The rock hasn't moved. He said, who said the rock was going to move? He says, look at your muscles. Do you understand that some of the things you're pressing in on, some of the things you're knocking for, are doing a development work in you, and that's what Father's all about. It's about maturing you. You're thinking it's about moving this or moving that. It's moving you into muscle. It's moving you into maturity. So we have to stay at it, though, friends. You know, this whole idea of conversation, it's interesting, you know, when we unplug their phones from the wall, something else happens when you unplug your phone from the wall. What? It goes dead if you don't keep plugging it in. And some of you are going to run out of the energy that God intends for you to exercise if you don't keep plugging into God, if you don't keep connecting with the life that He has, that He can be that which allows you even to pray. That I pray that I can pray. I come knocking for a better heart for prayer from God, that I'd have a greater confidence with God. He says, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it shall be opened. And then he throws in this little clarifying picture. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll not give him a snake, will he? What's he saying there? He's playing with men's heads here, because this is God knows men. He says, when your son asks, do not mock him. We've never done that, have we, guys? don't mock him. A good father won't mock his kids. He says, and a good father won't do anything that will harm his kids. The first thing is just kind of, hey, you want this? Oh, here's some bread. That's not bread. There's no provision in the stone. Okay? Well, you ask for a fish. Well, hey, here's a snake. Now, that's danger. There's poison there. Friends, listen, if you come to God, you will not find poison coming back to you from God. You can trust Him. Why? Because He's a good, good Father. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give what is good, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask? Do you understand? The key phrase to the whole thing is right there. Give what is good. We've done it before, but all the way back, Romans 8:28, is God is always at work together for good. All right? We know that. But what's the definition of good? You go on to verse 29. That we might be conformed to the image of His Son. If you're not praying to become more like Jesus, God really can't answer your prayers. Because anything and everything you ask for is going to take you away from that. If it's not the pursuit of Christ, then you're wanting something other than Christ. And He has to be the greatest thing. And God will allow things to be eliminated from your life or testing you in your life that you might become more like Him through this idea of prayer. But He is a faithful, faithful Father. And Father faithfully responds with goodness to His children's requests. That's who He is. He can't not be that. You and I have all had those moments where we really weren't as good as we knew we should. True? Listen. He says, if you being evil. What a nice thing to say. So if you being evil know how to give good gifts. I mean, that's a nice way to compliment your audience, isn't it? So is Jesus just using hyperbole, or is that the truth? The truth is, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who seeks for God, not even one. There is none who does good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Friends, we are evil people. We made evil choices. We're not as evil as we can be, okay? But we have evil motives and evil issues, and that's why God sent a Savior. What do I deserve? I don't deserve blessing. I deserve eternity apart from Him. But He gives greater grace. So we have a tendency to look at this and go, God's holding out on us. That's a lie all the way back from the Garden of Eden. You check it out back in Genesis 3. That's the lie. God's holding out on us. No. God's holding out for us. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Read this with me out loud. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Wait, right there. Stay there on that first verse. If God is for us. Is that the truth of the Word of God?
Yes.
God is for you. You will not come to Him unless you believe that. You got to believe He's for you. And how do you know He's for you? Well, look at what it says next. Here's verse 32. Read this. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Don't you love the English in there? What's He saying? If He did not spare Jesus to give you everything you need, what's He holding out on you from? What kind of crazy idea do you have in your mind? You think God's holding out on you. God gave you His own Son. His Son who, by the way, in a garden prayed, Father, take this cup from me. Did God answer His prayer? I hear yes and no. It's a whole different sermon. Oh, He answered that prayer by providing for you and me. Because He prayed what? Not my will, but yours be done. If you don't come to that in your prayer life, you're never going to mature into the child He wants you to be. But if you don't know this, friends, this is the most critical thing I can invite you to do. Jesus Christ was sacrificed for your sin that you might know Him as your Savior. And the only prayer that will make any sense starts with this. Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. If you've never prayed that, I ask you today, you come to Him and say, Lord, save me. That's the most powerful starting prayer you can pray. That's what brings you into that place, moves you from the sinner into being a son. There's a change that happens when you call on Him, because everyone who believes on Him receives forgiveness of sins. Whoever calls on His name will be saved. That's His work. And when you pray that prayer, then the whole world of prayer opens up to us, doesn't it? So we come as sons to a Father who loves us. Friends, Father promises provision to children who humbly come to Him. You ask, you'll receive. You seek, you'll find. You knock, it shall be open. Because you have a good, good Father. That's who He is. Let's pray. Father, 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 You are so patient with me. You're so patient with us. I'm sorry we're so slow to get this. I want to walk in a more respectful, dependent, faith-affirming relationship with You. But sometimes I'm just selfishly seeking my own stuff. Maybe it's even Your stuff, but I want the way Your stuff will make me look. Father, there's so much mixed motives in our hearts. We just want to come and say, will You continue Your gracious, purifying, strengthening work? Forgive us for our waywardness. Because we're coming to You alone. We're drawn near. Drawn near to us. Give hope to each person listening to this word right now that their God time would be changed, that they would connect with You relationally and experience Your provision personally. I thank You that You're such a personal God. I thank You for the doors You open when we ask, and I just rejoice in that.